resources to mount your own private cyber army or cyber defense force. And I think that you're going to see companies more and more getting into that space. And I do worry about that kind of conflict getting out of hand, because the government is in many ways restrained and constrained by oversight, by law, by the press. There's a lot that companies can do that we may never find out about that could actually be quite dangerous.
As we're coming to the end of this interview, is there anything that you think is important to say that we haven't touched on, or something you wanted to emphasize?
I guess I would just say that people often ask me, and they say, how do you sleep at night? And one of the reasons that I wanted to write the book is I wanted people to understand how these things are working and what this sort of the terrain of this conflict looks like, so that people aren't anxious and they're not afraid of it. We hear a lot of doom and gloom from people in government warning about dire consequences of cyber attacks, and those things could happen. But by and large, if you are somebody on the internet today, even though your privacy is probably nowhere near as protected as it might have been in another generation, and there's a lot of information out there about you, there are certain things that you can do and still feel safe online. So I hope that people, when they read the book, will not come away feeling that all is lost, privacy is lost, anonymity is lost, and it's only a matter of time before we all get hacked. There really are, things that you can do to keep yourself safe online. And I think it's important that, just as informed citizens, we start to understand how our government is seeing cyberspace as a real domain, as someplace that it's trying to influence, and so that we can get smart about holding people accountable and being a part of the decisions that, frankly, are going to shape how we all use cyberspace in the future.
Well, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us about your book, At War.
It was my pleasure, and thank you for having me. I'm a native Portlander, so talk with you.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, well, I'll let people know again, I've been speaking with native Portlander Shane Harris. The title of his newest book is At War, The Rise of the Military Internet Complex. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO.
It's about 9:46. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned to KBOO Community Radio, because at 10, it's Air Cascadia. Today, Chris Andre's guest is Grant Smith of the Institute for Research Middle East Policy, who has written about Israel's nuclear program. That's coming up at 10. In the meantime, next on Political Perspectives, we'll hear an interview from the series Between the Lines, featuring activist Dr. Margaret Flowers and the movement to stop the fast track of the TPP trade agreement and the importance of Oregon in that movement.
President Obama is pushing hard for congressional approval of trade promotion, or fast-track authority, that many believe is essential for passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement, or TPP. The proposed trade deal would include 12 nations that border the Pacific Ocean, including Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, the U.S., and Vietnam. Congressional leaders from both parties support the trade proposal, while progressive Democrats and Tea Party Republicans mostly oppose it. Democratic opponents maintain that the TPP is unconstitutional and undemocratic, as the trade pact has been negotiated in secret over the past several years, with most members of Congress kept out of the loop. Many Tea Party legislators oppose Fast Track because they say it gives President Obama too much power. Congressional approval of the TPP would give corporations even more power than they acquired under earlier trade deals like NAFTA to set the trade agenda and override environmental, health, and labor protections. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Margaret Flowers, co-director of PopularResistance.org, a daily movement news and resource website which also organizes several campaigns, including Flush the TPP. Here she talks about the pressure now being exerted on Democrats who favor the TPP and the consequences if the controversial trade deal wins passage.
The members of Congress were home this past week for President's Week, and so this was a perfect time for people around the country to really make their members of Congress know that they're opposed to fast track. So there were actions across the country. In Oregon, they had a whole bus touring the country. Oregon is really a critical state because Senator Ron Wyden is the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee. And that's the committee in the Senate where they will introduce fast-track legislation. And so the Republican chair of that committee is really pushing Senator Wyden to join him in sponsoring that legislation. And we, if he does that, that will allow cover for the other Senate Democrats to, you know, go ahead and support it as well. So he's really crucial. And we're glad to see that the Oregon voters have really spoken out loudly, as well as there was a poll just released this past week showing that 73% of Oregon voters oppose fast track, which is great. 62% oppose the TPP. So we got to put him in the hot seat. Other exciting thing that happened this past week, and this is something that people can do all over the country, is that Richmond, California voted to be a TPP-free zone, as well as Vermont introduced legislation making their whole state TPP-free. And these are what communities are doing is they're making resolutions to say, if you negotiate this agreement in secret and then you rush it through Congress without us knowing what's in it, how it's going to impact our communities, we're not going to obey that. That's not constitutional. It's undemocratic. And so we just are going to stand up and protect our communities, because the TPP will affect people in their local communities. Part of it requires that local laws be harmonized with rules inside the TPP, as well as it gives corporations greater power to challenge us if we pass laws to protect our health, our safety, our workers, you know, our environment.
What could be different if the TPP, if Fast Track is approved and the TPP passes?
Right. So Fast Track is really key to stopping it, because that would allow them to push it through Congress without debate or amendments. If this passes, we see this as really a real game changer, because among other things, as I mentioned, having to harmonize our laws, it does give corporations the right to sue if any laws interfere with their expected profits. Now, this is new. Under NAFTA, we had corporations suing if something interfered with money they had invested, but this allows them to sue for much more money, because they can say, well, we wanted to frack in your community and you banned it. We would have made billions of dollars. So if you want to get away with banning fracking, you're going to have to pay us billions of dollars. And communities just don't have that kind of money. So it will force them to actually repeal those laws. So this is really scary, because this happens outside of our judicial system. It's in a court that is staffed with corporate lawyers, and we have no right of appeal. Their decision is binding.
Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro in Connecticut is one of the leaders of the Democrats who are fighting fast track. It's interesting to see kind of the coming together of some of the more liberal progressive Democrats with some of the Tea Party Republicans, because for different reasons, both are opposed. So after this past week of activities, what do you have up your sleeve? What's next?
Congresswoman DeLauro has been fantastic and held an excellent press conference, which really broke through the media blackout that has been going on. So we congratulate her and thank her for that. We expect that when Congress returns from their recess, that they will move to introduce fast-track legislation in late February or early March. And we think that we have about 2 months to stop it. If we can push them back to May without passing it, then we start to get into the presidential elections and the next election cycle. And nobody really wants to touch this in an election cycle. So this is really a critical time. And we're going to be urging people to use a tool we have called stopfasttrack.com to contact their members of Congress, to also join our rapid response team, where we'll identify people in places that we need to be in order to put pressure on them, and we'll need people to be ready to mobilize for that. But everybody, wherever you are, can contact your member of Congress. Thank them if they are opposed to fast track and urge them to stay strong. If they're not opposed to fast track, you need to push them.
And is there an easy way to find out where your congressperson or senator stands on this, or do you just have to call the office?
You know, it's an interesting moment, because for reasons, people are not really willing to list who is for or against. They don't want the other side to have that information. So really, it means that people individually need to contact their member of Congress and find out where they stand.
Just one thing, you mentioned that when the elections are coming up closer, you know, elected officials don't want to touch this. Why?
Because they know that we have a more than 20-year history with these types of agreements, that people in this country are aware of what they do, the detriment that they do to us. And so it is actually politically toxic and can be used against them during an election cycle.
That was Margaret Flowers of the PopularResistance.org website and Flush the TPP campaign. For more information on groups opposing passage of Fast Track and the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org. You've been listening to Between the Lines, a weekly program presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. Between the Lines is produced and distributed by Squeaky Wheel Productions. If you have suggestions for topics and guests, please contact Between the Lines through our website at btlonline.org, where you can hear our current and archive programs in MP3 and streaming audio. There you can also subscribe to free weekly podcasts, program summaries, and interview transcripts. Follow us on Facebook at Between the Lines Radio News Magazine and on Twitter at BTL Radio News. Our theme music was written by Richard Hill and Jody Gray and performed by Mikata. This week's program is produced by Anna Manzo, Bob Nixon, Gary Trujillo, Melinda Tuhus, and Jeff Yates. For Between the Lines, I'm Scott Harris.
You're tuned to KBOO Community Radio. Air Cascadia is coming up next. And 10:15, we have Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, stay tuned for the bike show. Today, this show celebrates spring. Highlights are the annual Spring Fling. You'll also get best advice on how to get your bike rolling and how to keep it that way while inspiring others. And in case you didn't know, KBOO Community Radio depends on members for support. Thank you, members. If you're not a member, you can go to kboo.fm on the web and click where it says Donate Today and join us. Thank you for that. We're going to hear a few announcements, and then we'll get right to Air Cascadia with guest Grant Smith from the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy in Washington, D.C.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian. Wednesday, March 4th, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Wednesdays for an afternoon of jazz. Hosts of Jazz Lives, A Jazz World, and Jazz in the Afternoon play the very best in jazz music. From the historical to the present, and jazz of all stripes. Swinging, smoking, bluesy, funky, new and old, but all good. That's Wednesday afternoons from noon to 4 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. In the headlines today, our guest is Grant Smith. We're very, very fortunate to be joined by Smith. He's the director of the Washington, D.C.-based Institute for Research on Middle East Policy. They recently won the release of the report that he wrote a piece, a U.S. confirmed existence of Israeli H-bomb program in 1987. Noam Chomsky on Democracy Now! On Monday indicated that Israel probably had nuclear weapons many years even before that. The